In the name of God, who is wisdom and who is with us. Amen. So today we are beginning a new church year with the season of Advent. And we also are beginning our Advent sermon series on the great O antiphons of Advent. And specifically, as found in hymn 56, and as we sing two stanzas at a time each week during Advent, like we just did before the gospel. Now, this next part will be just riveting, and if it's not, it was Dixon's idea. So, antiphons are sentences that are usually from Scripture and that are recited before and after the Psalms and Canticles in our daily offices, like morning prayer and evening prayer. And the great O antiphons themselves are a series of seven short sentences that are recited or chanted during evening prayer before and after the Magnificat or the Song of Mary. And that's in the 7 days that lead up to Christmas, December 17th through the 23rd. And they actually begin with invoking the name of wisdom and end with invoking the name of Emmanuel. And the authorship and date of composition of these antiphons is unknown, maybe the 6th or 7th century, but they've been used in church and in monastic communities since at least the 8th century. And they were sung in Latin, and each one begins with O and refers to one of the titles for Jesus in the book of Isaiah. And each one also includes a petition that comes from that title. Like today we sang, O come Emmanuel and ransom captive Israel. Now the titles are these: O Sapientia, which means wisdom, O Adonai, which means Lord, O Radix Jesse, which means the root of Jesse, O Clavis David, which means the key of David, O Oriens, or day spring, O Rex Gentium, or king of the nations, O Emmanuel, or God with us.
This is my penance for doing a sermon series.
Okay, so a really cool thing about these O antiphons is this. If you take the first letter of each Latin title for Jesus and write them in reverse order, you get these two words, ero cross, which actually in Latin mean tomorrow I will come. Just perfect for Jesus. And so if you would start with Sapientia on the S and end with Emmanuel on the E, and those are the two that I'm going to deal with today. So they'll probably stand there for a few more minutes, which is fine. So it's said that some Benedictine monks arranged these antiphons with a definite purpose. However, there's other people that say, oh no, it wasn't deliberate at all. But wherever the truth lies, I like to think of this Advent acrostic being devised in the hope and expectation of Jesus coming among us. And these O antiphons are important because they each contain a title for Jesus, and they each refer to a prophecy of Isaiah for the coming of the Messiah. And they were actually added to the evening prayer service before the Magnificat to recall the prophecies that are associated with Mary's calling to be the mother of God or the God-bearer. And from the book of Isaiah, we are able to hear and to repeat many beautiful and poetic names for God. Over time, these Latin Advent antiphons evolved into a hymn, Veni, Veni, Emmanuel, and various translations of the English hymn, O come, Emmanuel, survive. And that's what's in our hymnal, our hymn 56, which we just sung part of. It's been our practice to sing those two stanzas each week. And these two today are, O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel, that mourns in lonely exile here until the Son of God appear. And the second one today is, O come, thou wisdom from on high, who orderest all things mightily, to us the path of knowledge show, and teach us in her ways to go. And then, of course, we have the familiar refrain of rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. So in the stanzas we have today, the first, O come, Emmanuel, is actually the last one in the O antiphons. And the second one, O come, thou wisdom from on high, is actually the first one in the series. Wisdom is evoked, and the culmination is Emmanuel, or God with us. Thank you. So our own hymn that begins with, O come, Emmanuel, as we start the season of Advent, is that we look forward to the return of Christ, even as we're looking back in order to look forward, because we know the story. Emmanuel is Hebrew for God with us. We cry out to God to come among us in the flesh and be our Redeemer. And it comes from Isaiah 7. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Look, the young woman is with child and shall bear a son and shall name him Emmanuel. Our stanza asking Emmanuel to come asks the following of God, that God redeem captive Israel who is mourning in exile, far from the face of God. It might be helpful to remember that the scripture from which this comes was written by Isaiah during the reign of four kings in periods of war and revolt. And also, Isaiah assumed that because God had established Jerusalem, God would ultimately save it. The people called on God for a redeemer. The second stanza this week calls on wisdom, the wisdom from on high of God, who has created all things according to a mighty order. And the cry is for wisdom to teach us in her ways. Frequently in scripture, wisdom has a feminine personality. And the scripture that comes from Isaiah 11 is, the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, that's the Savior, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And then from the Book of Wisdom, for wisdom the fashioner of all things taught me. There is in her a spirit that is intelligent, holy, steadfast, and sure. For she is a breath of the power of God and a pure emanation of the glory of the Almighty. She is a reflection of eternal light, a spotless mirror of the working of God, and an image of God's goodness. The people called on God, who is wisdom herself, for a spirit of knowledge and truth. So, what might this hymn and the O antiphons mean for us today? What does it mean for us to call upon God through these words and images? These ancient words and images were present to the ancient people of Israel, to all people since, and are present to us here today. And what does it mean to wait as a people of God? We wait every year in Advent, and we seem to have been waiting a long time for the coming of God's kingdom, especially in the light of what goes on in our culture. And it was no different for people in Isaiah's time or in Jesus's time, because we all still need a Savior. And these words still speak to us today. I like to think of this Advent and the progression of hymn 56 with its O antiphons embedded as a kind of magical mystery tour. We wait and watch in quiet expectation for Jesus to be born among us again. And we call out for God to be with us, for God to show us the way. For God our Lord, for God our root, for God our key, for God our light, and for God our King. And these petitions build in intensity until we arrive at the manger with the star shining upon it. How all this happens is a mystery, and we call this the mystery of the incarnation, the mystery of God being born among us and of God being with us. And for me, these words today are about hope. Charles Pinches calls hope a good habit by which we move toward a future good that is both possible and difficult to attain or imagine at times. It is a gift of the Spirit that we can discover as something already present and renewed. And hope's work is to hold on firmly in the midst of trouble. So the Advent acrostic meaning, "Tomorrow I will come," is the hope and promise of Advent, whether it was deliberately devised as a kind of Advent code or not. God promises to save us and to be with us, and we will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And the problem is we don't know when or how that will happen, but we know the promise has been made to us for all time. And as we run through all the names of Jesus this season, may they remind us that he will indeed come to us again and again. And we're invited to engage with God during this time and to use the O antiphons to mark our mystery tour. God knows us and calls us by name, and we're invited to know God and to call God by names that help make God known. And the end name of all names for God is Jesus. And we will end our particular Advent journey by calling on Emmanuel again on Advent 4. And we're invited to pray and sing these words in this part of God's story in hope. And we wait in hope again this Advent, even when we see that the kingdom has not yet been fulfilled. We're invited to lift up our hearts and voices with Isaiah and with all of God's creation to stand firm in the midst of a chaotic world and to let the names for Jesus drown out all the other names, to be willing to follow Jesus and willing to fight for hope, to be voices of hope crying in the wilderness that things will be well and as they should be, finally restored and healed. Kathy Beach Verney wrote, "The good news of Advent is not simply that Christ is coming, but that his coming means that we can hope. Advent offers us expectation and hope for something new." And this means we can hope in spite of the fact that things might seem to fall apart in our lives, our communities, or our world at times. God's word always promises us new life. So I think we are invited to more hopefulness. We wait for the eternal to break into time, to be born in the world once again, and to come again in glory as God has promised. Hopefulness will be our path, and wisdom will show us the way. Hopefulness will help us recognize the signs of God with us and among us. Hopefulness will help us understand that Jesus accompanies us on our mystery tour of Advent and on all our journeys, that he gives us forgiveness, love, and life eternal, that something radically new is emerging out of this world, just as God has promised through Jesus Christ. In this Advent, may the great O antiphons, as sung in the hymn, help us to watch what is in our hearts, to watch what is all around us, so that we can see the signs of hope in all places and look forward to the time when all are at peace and all are satisfied and all are healed. And we rejoice that Emmanuel will come to us. Amen.